Hello, my name's Dave Emery, and in this segment, we're going to begin an examination of a German, at the time West German, now of course there are no East and West Germany, but at the time a West German company called Autrag, which functioned for all intents and purposes as sort of a state within a state, leasing some 29 or 30,000 square miles of Zaire, the African country, and with virtual autonomy over that large section of that country. Autrag's roots go back to some of the Nazi rocket scientists that were brought into the United States at the end of World War II under Project Paperclip. And indeed, Autrag seems to have functioned as, in effect, and perhaps explicitly, a NATO installation and possibly a vehicle for various types of U.S. and possibly German and NATO covert action in Africa. The institution, that is, Autrag, was run by, as I said, veterans of the Third Reich's rocketry programs in World War II, and was certainly used for developing missiles, perhaps illegally so, and it may have been used for developing various biological warfare agents, including genetically engineered organisms designed to overwhelm the human immune system. I want to stress that that last element is speculative and should be understood as such. Our examination of Autrag is going to be derived from a critically important recent book entitled Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional. Emerging Viruses was authored by Dr. Leonard Horowitz and was published in hardcover by Tetrahedron Incorporated. That's Tetrahedron. It's copyrighted 1996. Tetrahedron can be contacted at an 800 number. That's 1-800-336-9266. That's 1-800-336-9266. And the following discussion about Autrag is taken from Dr. Leonard Horowitz's book. One of the speculative elements in Dr. Leonard Horowitz's book concerns the possible role of a company which really functioned as a state within a state, virtually an autonomous German state within Zaire. That company was called Autrag, O-T-R-A-G. And in Emerging Viruses, Dr. Leonard Horowitz discusses Autrag and the possibility that it may have been connected to the development of AIDS. And as we shall see, Autrag certainly has roots going directly back to the Third Reich, and in particular going back to some of the Third Reich's rocket scientists, the famous Project Paperclip importees, who were at the very foundation of the U.S. space effort as well, the best known of those being former SS officer Werner von Braun. The discussion in Emerging Viruses concerning Autrag, and I think perhaps in Autrag we can see a reflection of the attitudes towards Africa that are still held within certain circles in power in the West, and I think those attitudes could be politely described as murderous. In Autrag, I think we may very well have an entity that I think could be said to exemplify the policies that I'm afraid are going to be pursued towards Africa, or perhaps executed, and I use that term advisedly. And it certainly is a fascinating element and something of considerable political and historical importance, even more so if the distinct possibility that Autrag was connected to the development of AIDS is in fact the case. We've noted in the past that among the figures who looms large in the background of the series of events leading to the direction the creation of AIDS was a fellow named Eric Traub, who was Hitler's chief of bacteriological and virological warfare, who, along with his assistant, Anna Berger, was imported into the United States under the Paperclip program, ensconced in, among other things, the University of California's developmental programs. He worked very closely with elements of the U.S. Navy's biomedical establishment, and ultimately that river ran into the rivers which appear to have developed AIDS. And again, the book Emerging Viruses makes an excellent case that AIDS was a deliberately created disease. And indeed, I've interviewed Dr. Leonard Horowitz along with Dr. Alan Cantwell, Dr. Garth Nicholson, and Ed Haslam in a three-hour interview that is available from Spitfire. There's also a three-hour interview with Ed Haslam by himself available from Spitfire. You can also order RFA 16 now from Spitfire. The discussion concerning Autrag begins with some statements by a former Soviet press official. The claim that AIDS was a Western biological warfare weapon surfaced in the 1980s in Soviet propaganda. And that is not to say that I endorse the Soviet propaganda position on the whole, but they were accurate about some things. The truth concerning the former Soviet Union is somewhere between their propaganda machine, which made them out to be, you know, the Verkhos Paradise, and our propaganda machine, which made them out to be the evil empire. The truth is neither was accurate. The truth is somewhere in between. But obviously it was not a society that was in a position to survive. However, they were not the demons that we were told they were, and they were certainly were not the working class heroes that they made themselves out to be either. Again, the truth, somewhere in between. Now, one of the things that is significant about the interview with a former, I guess at the time he was a Soviet press official. Now, if he's still with the government, it would be the Russian government. But a fellow named Boris Belitsky is that the following discussion, as Leonard Horowitz notes, took place at a time when Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, who apologized to President Ronald Reagan for the accusation that the U.S. and the West had developed AIDS, this was at a time when not only had that apology taken place, but when the Soviets were desperately looking for Western aid and were not going out of their way to alienate the West in any way. It remains to be determined whether the charge made here concerning OTRAG and their involvement with the development of AIDS is accurate. However, the OTRAG situation itself is very significant and worthy of study in and of itself. So we're going to discuss OTRAG at considerable length in the passage that's about to follow. I would not in any way dismiss the notion that is presented here that OTRAG may have been connected with the development of AIDS. That is a speculative element. We have noted in the past not only the Eric Traub connection to Project Paperclip and the series of events that led to the development of AIDS, but also the fact that Merck Company, whose experimental hepatitis B vaccine appears to have been the vehicle for inoculating people with AIDS in the United States. Merck is a German-owned company with roots going back to some of the same elements that precipitated the Third Reich. Also inextricably linked with U.S. biological warfare development, and also the company that makes the vaccines for the United States Army. And I wonder whether perhaps Merck was in any way connected with some of the vaccines that may have led to the development of Persian Gulf War syndrome. Again, a speculative element. Concerning OTRAG, and in Chapter 20, Dr. Leonard Horowitz discusses OTRAG. It's OTRAG, O-T-R-A-G, links to Nazis, NATO, NASA, the National Cancer Institute, and AIDS. And it begins, as we skip down a little bit into Chapter 20, in the spring of 1988, a high-ranking Soviet press official, Boris Belitsky, B-E-L-I-T-S-K-I-Y, offered the latest Soviet position regarding Pentagon involvement in the creation of HIV. Belitsky: several U.S. administration officials, such as USIA and Director Charles Wick, have accused the Soviet Union of having invented this theory for propaganda purposes. But actually, it is not Soviet scientists at all who first came up with this theory. It was first reported in Western journals by Western scientists, such as Dr. John Seale, a specialist on venereal diseases at two big London hospitals, and one of the first scientists to point to the viral nature of AIDS. The host then asked if there had been any new evidence to support Seale's contention. The official replied, oh, this, by the way, was a Moscow World Service radio broadcast. Resuming again, the host then asked if there had been any new evidence to support Seale's contention. The official replied, Belitsky: just recently, a Soviet journalist in Algeria, Alexander Zhukov, Z-H-U-K-O-V, managed to interview a European physician at the Mustafa Hospital there who made some relevant disclosures on the subject. In the early 70s, this physician and immunologist was working for the West German OTRAG, Orbital Transport and Missiles Limited Corporation in Zaire. His laboratory had been given the assignment to cultivate viruses ordinarily affecting only animals, but constituting a potential danger to man. They were particularly interested in certain unknown viruses isolated from the African green monkey, and capable of such rapid replication that they could completely destabilize the immune system. These viruses, however, were quite harmless for human beings, and the lab's assignment was to develop a mutant virus that would be a human killer. Host: did they succeed? Belitsky: to a large extent, yes. But when they inoculated the inhabitants of several jungle villages with such a mutant virus on the pretext of giving shots against cholera, this did not produce the immediate results required of the lab. Now, it is well known that people infected with the AIDS virus can live for several years without developing the disease, but at the same time, the result was summed up as proving the unsuitability of the virus as a biological warfare agent. The lab was ordered to wind up the report and turn the results over to certain U.S. researchers who had been following this work with keen interest, to such an extent that some of the researchers believed they were in reality working not for the West German Autrag Corporation, but for the Pentagon. In fact, two U.S. assistants had been with the lab throughout the work on this project. Several years after the lab had turned over its findings to the Americans, back came the news of the first AIDS cases in San Francisco. The researcher believes that the Pentagon had tested the mutant virus on convicts in California. Interesting, I remarked to Jackie that evening during dinner when she inquired how my work was going. Autrag's alleged work in the early 1970s was essentially identical to the work Gallo and his colleagues published at that time, unquote. What incentive could Belitsky have had to make up such a story, Jackie asked. I can't imagine, I replied. It seems to me he had more to lose than to gain by the report, unquote. By then, I realized, the Russians were looking for American aid to support Perestroika. But I'd love to learn more about Autrag, I added. A week later, my speaking schedule directed me to Bloomington, Illinois. Jackie, now beginning her last trimester, and Elena, that's Len Horowitz's wife and daughter respectively, were traveling along in our motor home heading to Florida by way of Illinois. Arriving early, I had a couple of free days to search the Illinois State University Library for more information about Autrag. By good fortune, I quickly came across a couple of reports. One revealed, quote, the complete text of a secret contract, unquote, between the government of Zaire and the little-known West German Autrag Corporation. Published in the fall of 1977 in Race and Class, the Journal of the Institute on Race Relations, and the Transnational Institute in London, the contract disclosed that 29,000 square miles of southeast Zaire had been leased to Autrag by Mobutu. The agreement gave the company, quote, complete sovereignty and control over the area, unquote. The company was ostensibly in the business of developing, quote, cheap satellite launching missiles for private industry, but the application of its technology to military purposes, purposes forbidden by the West German government since World War II, was quickly apparent, unquote. I found several other articles that appeared in African and European newspapers suggesting links between Autrag and the West German government, the CIA, and the South African government. Little, however, was confirmed. This led the Informationsdienst Südliches Afrika, German Information Service of South Africa, to conduct their own investigation. Soon thereafter, they published their shocking findings. And then it is quoting from that, we have traced Autrag and its supporters back to those Nazi scientists who worked on the V-1 and V-2 rockets during World War II and who later continued their activity in the United States, France, and Argentina. For example, Dr. Kurt H. Debus, D-E-B-U-S, at present chairman of the board of Autrag, once worked at the Panemunde V-2 program and later, until 1975, worked as director of the Cape Canaveral Space Program. Richard Gompertz, G-O-M-P-E-R-T-Z, Autrag's technical director and a U.S. citizen, once was a specialist on V-2 engines and later presided over NASA's Chrysler Space Division. Lutz Thilo Kayser, K-A-Y-S-E-R, Autrag's founder and manager when young, was quite close to the Nazi rocket industry, often called Dadiou's young man, that's D-A-D-I-E-U, a reference to Armin Dadiou, his mentor, who served as prominent SS officer and as Goering's special representative for a research program on storing uranium. While working for Autrag, Kayser also acted as a contact for the West German government, a special advisor to the Minister of Research and Technology on matters concerning Autrag. He was also on the ad hoc committee on the Apollo program transport systems. According to its own definition, Autrag is a private company financed by private funds. Indeed, during a Lusaka press conference, Chancellor Helmut Schmidt insisted upon this, quote, the government has no shares in Autrag, nor does it have any other finger in the pie, unquote. The real facts are rather different. Autrag is chartered as a transcription company, which means that shareholdings are credited by the government. That is, Autrag is subsidized by the government. Kaiser's business group was given many strange government orders. For example, in 1976, its technology research group received 764,000 Deutschmarks for scientific investigation of coal gas. The contract between Autrag and the government of Zaire involving the, quote, unlimited use, unquote, of nearly 30,000 square miles made Autrag sovereign over territories once inhabited by 760,000 people. Autrag is authorized to conduct any excavation and construction it chooses, including airfields, energy plants, communication systems, and manufacturing plants. All movement of people into and within the OTRAG territory is only with the permission of OTRAG. The state of Zaire is obliged to keep everyone else out and away. The same applies to the airspace over the granted territory. OTRAG is absolved from any responsibility for and damage caused by the construction of transport or construction or transport of missiles. Its people enjoy complete immunity from the laws of Zaire in the granted territory. These exclusive rights are granted until the year 2000. The governments and the press in Angola, Tanzania, Zambia, and Mozambique have expressed worries about the development of offensive military weapons using OTRAG missiles in Zaire. The Soviet Union, the German Democratic Republic, Yugoslavia, and Cuba have all denounced the OTRAG project as a means by which West Germany may circumvent the restrictions against certain weapons laid down in the 1954 Brussels Treaty. The London Evening Standard quoted U.S. military officials as suspecting the West Germans and France of the secret development of missile forces on OTRAG territory to prohibit an invasion of South Africa. In March of 1978, an article in Penthouse by Tad Schultz, that's spelled S-Z-U-L-C, said, based on Secret Service sources, that OTRAG was an extension of West Germany's arms companies Dornier and Messerschmitt, developing and testing cruise missiles and middle-range rockets on OTRAG territory. France and the U.S., the article said, was also participating in the project. Despite all this, the West German government continued to insist that OTRAG was a peaceful project. A question in Parliament by Representative Norbert Gansel, G-A-N-S-E-L, quote, whether the federal government was able honestly to deny that OTRAG missiles were being used for military purposes, unquote, was given this false response. And again, quoting from the false response, according to our own investigations, the missiles, still in a state of development, are not fit for military purposes. However, in an interview with the magazine Der Spiegel, OTRAG chief Lutz Kaiser admitted that, quote, of course everything could be used militarily, unquote. The history of OTRAG underlines the close contact between the company and the Ministry of Defense in Bonn. Chairman Debus would not name the three high NASA officials who inspected and praised OTRAG's concept. A CIA agent told a British journalist that the Boeing company had provided OTRAG with cruise missile technology. In another article about OTRAG published in New Scientist, Farouk Hussein, H-U-S-S-A-I-N, a research student at the Department of War Studies at King's College London, reported that, quote, the private West German company, unquote, had offered, quote, cut-price satellite launches from a private range in Zaire that is half the size of England to any country or commercial organization able to afford it. Hussein heartily criticized the earlier report by former New York Times correspondent Tad Schultz, published in Penthouse. Schultz alleged that West Germany, along with the United States, was, quote, supplying small arms to Zaire, having secret projects to develop nuclear weapons, and of hiding the funding for the Zaire project, unquote. Hussein, however, confirmed that OTRAG's initial research was, quote, sponsored by the West German government, unquote, and, quote, carried out at Deutsche Forschungs- und Versuchsanstalt für Luft- und Raumfahrt, the Federal Rocket Research Institute at Lampolthausen near Stuttgart. This project was led by Eugen Sanger and Wolf Pilz, P-I-L-Z, two wartime scientists from the Nazi rocket facility at Peenemünde. They were joined by a brilliant young engineer, Lutz Kaiser. Following Sanger's death in 1970, his widow helped Kaiser form a company which continued to work on the low-cost launcher at Lampolthausen under government contracts worth £7 million. But by 1974, the West German government allegedly decided to devote its rocket research efforts solely in the direction of a joint European launcher, which was based on familiar missile technology. Kaiser, determined to continue with this project, formed OTRAG, but he continued to make use of the facilities at Lampolthausen for rocket motor test burns. Kaiser recruited the former director of the V-2 program, Dr. Kurt Debus, who was also the director of Kennedy Space Center at Cape Canaveral, Florida, until 1975. Under the terms of the UN Space Treaty, an individual or private company cannot place satellites in orbit without the sponsorship of a government. This problem was resolved in part by the signing of an agreement between OTRAG and Zaire. The OTRAG agreement with Zaire, which was never as secret as Penthouse claimed, has rightly caused uproar. The terms are reminiscent of the deal made by Cecil Rhodes with King Lombagula. The size of territory, 100,000 square kilometers, was allegedly determined for launch safety precautions and is in a thinly populated part of the Shaba province. It suddenly struck me that, and then Len Horowitz goes on to comment about the, what appears to be a modified limited hangout article, it suddenly struck me that Hussein's Department of War Studies affiliation might have biased his prose. First, it occurred to me that in an area that included 760,000 African natives, First, it occurred to me that an area that included 760,000 African natives might be called something other than, quote, thinly populated, unquote. Then it seemed odd that Shaba Province, the center of covert CIA military operations in the region, might be determined the safest launch site. The area was as close to a war zone as one could get without being in the middle of it. Hussein continued, OTRAG has use of this area of Zaire rent-free until the firm becomes profitable. After that, the Zaire government receives 25 million Zaires annually and retrospectively from 1976, paid into any bank designated by President Mobutu Sese Seko. But this is not inflation-proof, and Zaire's inflation is currently running at around 70%. OTRAG promises to launch a Zaire military reconnaissance satellite for free, although it doesn't say when. Zaire does have the option of the first satellite launch, but it loses all the rent due up to that point unless it pays for the launch in foreign exchange. This is made easier by providing Zaire launch facilities at a 20% discount. Zaire cannot withdraw from its contract with OTRAG until the year 2000, but OTRAG can withdraw at any time. By 1981, OTRAG intends to begin operating at around 110 launches per year. Hussein went on to deride OTRAG for having little hope of attracting customers. Quote, the value of reconnaissance satellites for third world countries is extremely doubtful, unquote, he claimed, again quoting, because the data received requires experienced technicians and large computer facilities to interpret, unquote. Either Hussein wasn't keeping up with the realities in his area of special studies, or he was moved to produce disinformation for NATO, I realized. OTRAG's project seemed to fit the Western Allies' need exactly. During my research, I had stumbled on a North Atlantic Assembly report by Christian Brumter, B-R-U-M-T-E-R, head of studies at the University of Paris. Brumter, or Brumte, actually, since this is probably French, reviewed NATO's space and upper atmospheric objectives. He noted that cooperation between Germany and the United States was discussed first in 1960 and, quote, again in 1969 on the basis of a study by the Economic Committee which, after having recognized the exploration of outer space as one of the common goals which can help relieve world tensions, regretted that the current national space programs are duplicative and extremely costly, unquote. This clearly raised the problem of the relations in this field between the United States and some European countries, unquote. In 1971, the NATO Assembly, see civil and military strategy, what is it, a figure there, recommended that alliance member countries, quote, continue or undertake European action in the space field in view of the creation of a single European space body, continue the development and perfection of launchers capable of placing in orbit satellites weighing more than 600 kilograms, and which would guarantee European independence in the telecommunications field by harnessing the scientific and industrial efforts of European industry. Continue to improve space cooperation in the Intelsat programs and through technical and commercial agreements at the bilateral or multilateral level, especially in the post-Apollo program. And regarding, quote, meteorological questions, unquote, intended to be answered through satellite technology, as in the case of ERTS, in 1962, quote, NATO's program of space research for peaceful purposes recommended that a long-range weather forecast system be established by NATO. And the Assembly, quote, also requested that, in accordance with NATO's policy of good neighbor relations, information be made available to the neighboring friendly nations, not only in Europe, but also in Africa, unquote. So in 1975, when USAID called for NASA to develop these systems, and Zaire was chosen as a central site for satellite launching and data collection, NATO's program had been on the drawing board for over a decade, and OTRAG's program evolved virtually simultaneously with NATO's. This knowledge, combined with the fact that OTRAG's space program served all the needs articulated by Kissinger's State Department, made me think that Hussein, and not Shultz, was purposely spreading disinformation. We'll be continuing with our discussion of OTRAG, taken from Len Horowitz's book, Emerging Viruses, AIDS and Ebola, Nature, Accident, or Intentional, published in hardcover by Tetrahedron Incorporated, copyright 1996, in our next half-hour segment. All of the half-hour segments I've been producing for the last year and a half or so, the various interviews I've done, the weekly One Step Beyond shows that I produce on my home base station, KFJC-FM, and now I'm happy to announce the archive shows as well, are available from a tape duplication service called Spitfire. That's S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, one word. Their mailing address is P.O. Box 1179, Post Office Box 1179, That is in Ben Lomond, California, capital B-E-N, capital L-O-M-O-N-D, zip code 95005. Once again, Spitfire, one word, S-P-I-T-F-I-R-E, P.O. Box 1179, Ben Lomond, California, 95005. There's also an email address for Spitfire. It's A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, that's A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, at ix.netcom.com. Once again, A-L-C-A-L-A-M-E, one word, at ix.netcom.com. And all of the archive shows are now available from Spitfire, as well as the weekly One Step Beyond shows, the half-hour segments, and the interviews that I've done over the various years. I'm also in the process of launching my own political journal. I've had a number of inquiries about this from listeners around the country. I cannot go into any detail about that because this is a for-profit operation. If you would like to find out more about it, and the publication is called Other Means, you will have to write to Other Means, one word, or two words, excuse me, Other Means, P.O. Box 191710. That's in San Francisco, zip code 94119. Again, that's Other Means, P.O. Box 191710, San Francisco, California, 94119-1710. And I'm not in a position to go into any detail about that because that is a for-profit operation. If you want to find out more about it, inquire of that mailing address. There's also an email address for Other Means, D-E-M-O-R-Y, at well.com. That concludes this segment. We're going to continue with our discussion of Autrag, taken from Len Horowitz's Emerging Viruses, on the other side of this tape. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.